And good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, March the 22nd, 2017, 12:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am Scott Spears, your host, along with you for the ride. I don't have your mic on yet because I am announcing you. Joining me as co-host today is Sean Kraft, live in studio. Now your mic's on. You may speak.
I am Sean Kraft.
You think people don't know that by now? Now here, I got some house cleaning I want to do. Coming up today at 12:40. Now this is an interesting story. Even if you're not interested in wrestling, you might be interested in this. There is a preacher, active reverend, up in Flint, Michigan. His name is Leo Napier. He has now started to wrestle in his 60s. Now, not only is he a pro wrestler and a reverend, he has had strokes, and get this, he's legally blind. We will have Leo Napier, Father Time, on today from 12:40 until 1 p.m. Then you're definitely, if you want politics, if you want news, if you want to know what's going on in the world, 1:10 today, we've invited from the Daily Beast back Eleanor Clift, because the White House votes tomorrow on health care, and we're going to see if they're going to get the votes, if it's going to happen, if it's not going to happen, what's going on. We're going to find out about the Russia and the intelligence meeting and Comey, all with Eleanor Clift coming up at 1:10 today to 2 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that. Now, aside from all that, if you listened to Charlie Evers' show this morning, you know that Ted Jolliffe brought in White Castle for everybody, and we want to thank Ted for doing that.
Certainly.
He brought Ted Jolliffe, good friend of the radio station, brought in White Castle for everybody here this morning. Charlie's grandson was here. Terry Klein was a guest on Charlie's show. Sean and I were in the back waiting to do this show. So we thank Ted Jolliffe for that. And now, frankly, without reading between the lines, we're just waiting for Sean to have an explosion. Now, that's the nicest way I can say it, and people at home can read between the lines on that one, but there you go. How close are we to a possible explosion?
Atomic bomb?
I can imagine if you did it, it would be an atomic bomb, because I don't think I would live through it.
Oh, I'll say about 15 minutes.
15 minutes away. Yeah. The countdown's. Do you feel the gurgling?
I feel like
it's gurgling around. Yeah. So about the time you'll leave and Father Time will come on, there'll be a atomic bomb go off. So everybody at home, get under your tables.
What are they saying? I take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Is that what that is?
I guess.
Now, Browns fans, I don't think would care to hear that.
Well, you know,
anyway,
I'm not a Browns fan, so.
Anyway, oh my gosh. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get under the tables. Everybody brace yourself in about 20 minutes, because an atomic bomb will be going off in Marion. Go figure as to what that is. Yeah. So there it goes. So that's what we got today. Leo Napier, Father Time, coming up at 20 till, and then Eleanor Clift from the Daily Beast from 1:10 till 2 p.m. And we have got guests tomorrow. Now, I am so happy to say this, make this announcement here on the radio. We just got it confirmed. Do you know who will be on this show tomorrow at 12:15? I don't know if this has ever happened in Marion before.
No.
Michael Dukakis, who ran on the Democratic Party ticket for President of the United States against George W. Bush
in
1988.
That's awesome.
I don't think anybody who has ever been on a major party ticket has ever been interviewed by a major party. And tomorrow, Michael Dukakis will be on this show.
Amazing.
12:15 to 1 o'clock.
Can't wait to
hear. So you talk about the big guests. You're talking about Michael Dukakis.
How old is he now?
Tomorrow?
85,
he's in his 80s. He's in his 80s. Michael Dukakis. Why do you always care about their age?
No, I'm just asking how old he is. That's all I'm saying.
How old are you?
29.
In your dreams. The guy earlier on thought you were in your early 40s.
I know, right?
I believe that. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remember, Michael Dukakis tomorrow, Father Time today at 12:40, and then Eleanor Clift today at 1:10. Okay, let's talk health care, because it's coming tomorrow. The vote's going to go down tomorrow. Is it going to pass?
No.
How do you know?
I just tell you that
Trump went and met with everybody yesterday, and he was trying to make the deal.
It's not going to happen.
He basically threatened them.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't vote my way, you're probably not going to be reelected. But you still don't think he'll get the votes?
No, that healthcare plan is just totally bizarre.
So then what happens? Then what happens? Because Paul Ryan said this was their only best chance to get rid of Obamacare. So if this doesn't go tomorrow, what do? Go back to the drawing board?
They're going to have to, because the health care that they're trying to come up with is just nonsense.
You know, I got a recent poll this morning. Now, what do you make of this? Right now in this country, Obamacare is at 53% approval. That means more than half the country agrees with Obamacare now. Do you know what the president's approval rating is?
30.
37. So, do you think that's part of the problem?
Could be.
That Obamacare is more favorable than the president now, and these people in Congress might be saying, wait a second here, do we want to vote with him, who has a low approval rating, or do we want to vote to get rid of something that more than the country wants now?
I don't know, but all I know is that we need to have the same health care as the senators.
Why do you think all of a sudden Obamacare is popular?
Well, it's because everybody has insurance that way.
Yeah, but why now? I mean, they used it for years and years. We're going to repeal this thing. We're going to get rid of it. Why all of a sudden
now?
Well,
it's because Donald Trump's plan is taking it completely away.
Well, did people finally realize in the city that this is not easy? And that maybe the reason Obamacare... I'm not saying Obamacare is perfect, because it's not perfect. But that it's hard to come up with a plan.
Those that are just now tuning in doesn't, you know, have TV or radio or whatever. Explain to them.
I hope they have a radio or they're not tuning in.
I'm talking about, you know, just now tuning in. Those people that has not, you know, kept up with the news. Explain to them what his health care plan's all about.
Well, essentially, it's Obamacare to a certain extent, because you can stay on your parents' plan until you're 26. Pre-existing conditions stay in there. But the difference is that the mandate goes away. So you don't have to have it. Now, everybody will be given a tax credit at tax time to go out and buy it, but you're not made to have it. Now, the problem is that obviously, younger people are not going to buy it. And what that causes a problem with is that older people who are using it, who are going to buy it, their premiums are going to go up 5 times in the next 6 years, what they are right now, and their tax credit only goes up 2 times.
So what about private insurance? Is that going to cause the private insurance?
Well, that's where you will buy it. When you get your tax credit, that's where you will buy it from. But the Republicans are not happy, and we're going to take a phone call here. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, Scott. Adam, the computer guy.
Oh, Adam. Adam, the computer guy.
Who does a twice-weekly show.
A quick note for our listeners. I will be listening for Mr. Dukakis. That's a wonderful guest.
I was going to give you a plug there, Adam.
Oh, well, go right ahead. I'll
I know. Give me... I was going for it. I was going deep.
All right, calm down, you two.
Adam, the computer guy, twice weekly here on WWGH Radio, will be heard tomorrow morning, 9:10 a.m. to 10 a.m. There you go, Adam.
All right, Adam, the computer guy.
That was outstanding, gentlemen, and thank you very, very kindly. Anyway, just a couple issues related to our, I guess, 5 or 6 or 7 degrees of separation. As you may know, Mr. Dukakis, he's 83, by the way. His running mate was Lloyd Bentsen, and Lloyd Bentsen was the treasurer when our frequent guest Mary Ellen was Secretary of the Treasury. Secretary of the Treasury when our frequent guest Mary Ellen was treasurer.
You are correct.
So just a little piece of trivia there for you. And isn't Donald Trump on regularly? Is that the real Donald, or is that a personator?
I can't really disclose that, but Donald Donald has been on the station, yes, in one form or another. But this is not a Michael Dukakis impersonator. This is Michael Dukakis,
the real deal.
And I don't think, and check me if I'm wrong. People can do their research. In the nearly 80-year history of Marion Radio, I don't believe that the candidate for either the Republican or the Democratic Party for President of the United States has ever been interviewed by somebody on a Marion station.
Well, nobody has a guess. You do, Scott. I mean, nobody
can guess. Well, I wouldn't.
Not even in the same bulk. You were aware that Lloyd Bentsen and Mary Ellen served together under Clinton, though, right?
Yeah, for a part, yeah. Lloyd left in the middle of that, but yeah, you are exactly right.
And also, you had John Anderson on. Of course, he wasn't a major party candidate, but he was a strong independent candidate, essentially.
You're right. We might have been the first to have an independent candidate for president on, too. I'm not sure if John Anderson would have been that. But certainly...
If I'm not mistaken, he was kind of interesting because he was a Republican who lost the primary. Then he ran as a liberal because he was a very liberal Republican.
Yeah, he's what they used to call a moderate, but we don't really have those anymore. So, Adam, fill us in. What's on the show tomorrow?
More likely, more issues related to the Yahoo hacking that's been going on. And I talked about yesterday the phishing emails for Gmail users, where you get an email that looks real, but it's not, and they attempt to steal your credit card number, your password, or whatever's on their plate.
And I expect big promotion.
Always being the big issue. Medical technology, we have discussed that at pretty much every show this whole year, so that's likely on the plate also.
And I expect big publicity for Michael Dukakis?
Oh, without question. I always plug your show regularly, and you probably hear I call Ed's show Marion 2020, and I always remind people it's not about eyewear, it's about our community.
So that you are correct.
I remind people what the topics will be, and I'll be listening to Mr. Dukakis. That should be a great interview. I wasn't quite sure what happened. He kind of fell off the radar.
He was governor of Massachusetts, longest serving governor of Massachusetts. So we'll learn what he's...
The minute I heard that, I was thinking about Lloyd Bentsen, and again, I think of these dollar bills that he signed along with Mary Ellen.
So before we
and
let
that,
you...
That was kind of the cool thing that popped into my brain when I heard that.
You are... Well, hey, one thing I want to say with you, before we let you go, Adam, is the health care bill going to pass tomorrow?
I would say no.
Yeah? Well, where do we go from there? As that old song, do we go from here?
That's a very good question, Scott. I don't really have the answers. Healthcare is a serious crisis right now, and I wish I could
get
my crystal ball out, but it's in the shop.
Adam the Computer Guy
Adam
show
the computer guy.
Tomorrow, 9:10 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on
WWJH
Radio. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day, and thanks again, Sean, also.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
All right, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
I think everything's in a mess right now.
Well, I don't know that everything's
Messy.
What is messy with you? Besides that atomic bomb you got coming, what is the big problem?
I mean, seriously, are
you got sliders this morning?
Our governor has everything all messed up around here.
Oh, get off the governor, for God's sake. How many times do we have to hear your complaints about the governor? What has the governor done now? Nothing.
I can't wait till he's out of the office.
You say that. Well, you're gonna,
I'm going to run for governor.
January of 2019, he'll be gone.
I'm going to be taking his place. I'm going to show him how to be a governor.
Okay.
How to fix things up
in Ohio.
We'll
wait for that. We'll wait for that.
And, you know, bring back money to the counties.
Okay, well then how are you going to manage the state budget?
Other ways.
Other ways.
I'll borrow money from China.
Well, it's been done before. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in. Those are the digits, 740-383-9944. We like to talk to everybody here. That's why we're the talking place.
The talking place.
Yep.
On WWGH.
Give them the website. Which Adam maintains, keeps the archive shows on.
Yes, does a wonderful job on that.
I agree.
It's WWGH1071.com.
You know, I forgot to do this earlier on in the week. Paul and Glenna Savage celebrated their second anniversary here at WWGH Radio with the Heaven Express program. And I want to wish them a happy anniversary. Will you let me finish a sentence? Paul and Glenna, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for doing the Heaven Express program each and every Sunday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. right here on the station. Happy anniversary. We hope we'll all be here celebrating your 10th anniversary in 8 years.
You couldn't say that better than
Well, that's why you should have let me say it the first time.
Ditto.
Okay.
How about
so,
that one?
Do you hear the train coming?
I hear a train coming.
It's become a thing. I mean, it's a whole thing there. The great music, the great wonderful, and Paul Savage, of course, has written and performed Marge Hazlett's theme song, Charlie Evers' theme song. Yeah.
The swap shop that used to be here.
Well, that went your show went
south.
By the wayside. Yeah. South.
You
somewhere.
Never know. It could come back in the future. Never know.
I wouldn't bet the house on that one.
You never know.
Every time it's tried to come back, it just
you never know.
We just couldn't get you out of bed long enough to do it.
I know, right?
So there was always a problem.
I think I'm gonna put a couch in here. Oh, we have a couch in the back.
We have
now.
A couch in
I think
here.
I'm gonna start taking a nap.
What do you need a nap for? You don't do anything. What are you gonna take a nap from?
I don't know, just wore out. Just go to it and sleep.
How many chairs
have I broken?
Yeah, have you put to shame in this studio?
5, 6.
Because we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary in June.
Yeah, no, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but how many chairs have
Time
you broken?
Time flies
in
when you're having fun.
Well, chairs break when you're having fun. How many of those chairs have you busted in 3 years?
I don't know. I'm going to get a cement block, I guess.
You know what? That might be year number three. Cement block time for you. What do you think?
You never know.
I think it'd be very good.
Yeah.
Especially with those atomic bombs. You think that would do away with the cement block?
It could be. I don't know.
Let people know who's coming up. Let people know who's coming up on the show today and who's coming
up
tomorrow.
I really don't know. I don't pay attention.
I just told you a minute ago.
I can never remember their
name. Father Time.
Yeah,
Leo.
Father Time. He's blind in one eye.
No, he's legally blind.
But he said he's blind in one eye.
Correct.
And hardly see out of the other.
That's kind of like you.
He's 70 years old.
Yep.
He's a preacher.
Preacher man. Yep.
And he wrestles now.
And he's also had strokes. Three strokes.
Three strokes. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. And he gets in that wrestling ring.
That means God is on his side.
We're going to learn about that coming up in hour number two. We're going to learn about that in ten. No, Father Time.
Oh, Father.
Not Father Old Time.
I like Father Old Time better.
Oh, man. I knew letting you do anything would screw it up. Okay, who's on in the next hour? One to two.
Eleanor Cliff.
Okay, who is she?
What is she? She's like the Democrat of...
I don't have a clue. She's from the Daily Beast.
She's a Democrat, right?
She's a reporter. No, she's a reporter from the Daily Beast.
But she's an independent?
She's a reporter.
Right.
We're all independent.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. And who's coming up tomorrow at 12 o'clock, the big announcement?
I don't know. How do you say his name again? How do you say his name?
I swear.
By the moon and the stars.
This is why you don't do promos.
That's right. I don't do promos. That's not my alley. But how do you say his name?
What is it, your alley?
Taking atomic bombs. I don't know.
Yeah.
So how do you say that name?
Michael Dukakis.
Dukakis.
Former governor of Massachusetts.
And he's 80 years old.
He was the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States
of America
in 1988 against George Herbert Walker Bush. And first time in Marion history, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that we have ever had a person who ran for president on the Democratic or Republican ticket in the final election ever on Marion Radio.
Hmm. Interesting.
Now, you know, other people later on, I'll be the talk of other things later on today. I'll be on the tabloids.
Yeah, you will.
He's got another old one on.
Yeah, you'll be talking the tabloids.
I'll make the tabloids later on today. Oh, Lord, they're all insane. They were certifiably, I think.
So he's 80 years old.
What do you care how old
he is? No, I'm just saying he's 80 years old.
That's not the most important part. And by the way, his vice presidential nominee, Benson, and Lloyd Benson, was Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton when Mary Ellen Withrow was there, as Adam the Computer Guy pointed out. Do a promo for Adam tomorrow. Go ahead.
Adam the Computer Guy, tomorrow.
Well, you got to give the time. People don't know.
10 a.m.
No, he's on at 9:10 until 10 a.m. Charlie's on at 10 tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Charlie's on 10 tomorrow. What am I thinking? Yeah, 9:10.
Do you ever listen to this station at all?
I do. My brain's not all there today. I got to...
Among other things.
My stomach is rolling.
There's a growl going on. We still have time to take a call. Is the health care bill going to happen tomorrow? 740-383-9944. What do you think Eleanor Clift is going to say? We still have time before we're going to bring in Father Time. 740-383-9944. What do you think, Sean? Going to pass?
No, just like I said earlier.
Do you think Eleanor is going to say?
I think she's probably going to say it's not going to pass either, because we have too many senior citizens that are living longer. They can't afford
that. But they're not voting tomorrow. The congressmen are.
Right, but I'm saying...
Our own congressman, Jim Jordan, has basically said he's not voting for it.
Right, but I'm saying if anybody had the brain in their head, they don't want our... They can't afford it.
Yeah, but will it cost these people re-election? Because they've, all the time, repeal, replace Obamacare.
I know.
What do you think? Is it going to hurt them? Is it going to help them?
It's probably going to hurt them.
I mean, so then what?
Well, I don't know. I guess they just have to take a risk.
Okay, does it hurt Donald Trump?
Probably, yeah.
Now, he claims it's not his plan, but it's the plan he's championing. He went in there yesterday, tried to make these deals. They didn't work very well for him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, what happens? No repeal of Obamacare. Obamacare stays. See, I think what will happen after this is I think then Trump will sit down and he'll say, let these people have their Obamacare. It's going to bankrupt us.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to do. But, of course, you do realize he's not funding it, so... He's also, you know how you're supposed to be fined if you don't have it? Most people don't know this. Trump has signed an executive order removing that. So even if you don't have Obamacare, they're not going to fine you now.
Oh, really?
And some of that money was used to pay for Obamacare. Hmm. But President Trump got rid of that with an executive order.
Well, but it has not passed.
The executive order has.
No, but it has to go through the House.
Not the executive order.
Oh, I don't?
No.
So it's gone now.
What's gone?
That order, so people can't get fined this
people
year?
People can't get fined. The fines, they'll be fined, but the fines will not be collected.
Oh.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, he's probably trying to save American people money, but...
You think?
I don't know.
Because that money went in to fund Obamacare. So if you take away the funding, what's going to happen to that program?
Well, I guess he can deep down in his deep pockets, isn't he, Rick?
You know something I learned the other day? Do you know much... Because you make a big deal that he's not taking a salary, right?
Well, he makes a dollar, right?
No, do you know what the salary for president is?
100 and some thousand?
400,000.
Oh, it's 400?
400,000. Do you know every weekend that he goes to Florida, how much that costs? You, the American people, you. Do you know how much it costs you?
Uh-uh.
$3 million.
Costs us $3 million?
Every weekend. That he goes to for Secret Service, the flight down there, the fuel for the plane, the people who goes with him, the people who get time and a half for the weekend. Every weekend he's went down there, $3 million. And he refused his salary, which is $400,000. So is that a big thing to refuse your salary?
Not really.
So he $3 million to go down to Mar-a-Lago every weekend. Now,
but he's not the only president that does that.
I want to make a point here. In 1 month, President Trump has spent on the vacation budget what President Obama spent in a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they don't all do it.
Well, I mean, I'm saying they all travel.
They all travel, but yeah. Obama spent about, I think they said $14 million last year, all year on these travels. Trump has already spent in 1 month about $12 million.
Really? Wow, that is a lot.
So where do you think by the end of the year we're going to be in that budget?
We'll probably be in 100.
But we won't have PBS. We won't have Meals on Wheels. I mean, does any of this make any sense?
Absolutely not.
Is that conservative? Didn't he say he knew how to balance a budget?
Well, maybe he has a plan. I don't know.
Do you like him going? You bash Kasich left and right for being out of the state. Running up the taxpayer's bill, you're paying for those trips for him to go down to Mar-a-Lago.
Well, yeah. Just like I paid old Slopjaw to go everywhere.
Yeah, but do you realize 1 weekend down in Mar-a-Lago for the president is more than Kasich spent the entire time he was running for president?
Yeah. I don't know. What is the world coming to?
Well, no, what do you make of that? I mean, that's an interesting point.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe he needs to wake up, smell the coffee.
Why does he have to go there every weekend?
He likes to travel.
Yeah, but why can't you stay in the White House and do your job?
Why can't you travel on his own plane?
Well, you can't when you're president. I think there's a rule.
I thought any airplane that you go to, you is called Air Force
One. Do you know
One.
The money that
doesn't matter what place, no, plane
no,
he steps
no,
on?
No, no.
And you, wait a minute, hold on.
I want to make a point here. I'm trying to make a point.
Go ahead.
Budget. Do you know also that Melania is not living in the White House, and the Secret Service at Trump Tower is also on your bill?
Okay.
So that's not normal either.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, any plane that he steps on is called Air Force One.
Well,
doesn't matter what place a plane he steps on.
Well, I don't think that's true because I think if
I believe so.
Well, just let me get the thought out here. If he stepped on the Trump plane tomorrow, that doesn't mean it's Air Force One because he's not flying on it.
No. I'm saying any plane that the president steps on, it's called Air Force One. It doesn't matter if he's in.
But I'm saying. If he stepped in the plane, I don't think that means it's Air Force
One. No, I'm saying, say he rides in a different plane.
Right, yes.
If he goes in any other plane, it's called Air Force One.
But not just step on it.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about like in it. Like,
travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, travel, yes.
Okay, that's what I meant.
But it's just, it's not by name, it's just how they refer to it, the air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
It's not renamed or anything.
Yeah. So I did not realize how many, is there more than one Air Force Ones? Our planes?
Every president gets a new one.
I thought because I know they had like different.
Well, one of the reasons for that is because they take the old one to the museum.
But don't they have two anyway, though? Because they have one that flies. That way people don't know where the president, which one the president is in.
I don't know how they scramble all that.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Father Time, Leo Napier, right after this. Eleanor Clift, right after 1 o'clock. And maybe time for open phone lines, so you don't want to dare go anywhere.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday,
12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Scott Spears back with you here, 44 minutes past the hour. And reminder again, coming up next hour, 1:10 p.m., we'll be joined by the Daily Beast column writer, reporter, Eleanor Clift, who will be on to talk about everything going on in Washington. And tomorrow at 12:15, Thursday, March the 23rd at 12:15, we will have former presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, Michael Dukakis. So that'll be a lot of fun. But in the next few minutes here, we are going to be joined by a man with a very interesting story. He's just north of us, up in Michigan. He is a pastor. He is a professional wrestler. He has had strokes, and he is legally blind. What a fascinating story. He is Father Time, Leo Napier. Leo, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, good to speak with you. Leo, I got to ask you, let's start from the beginning here. You were a pastor. What religion and what do you do in the church up in Michigan?
I'm a pastor. Well, actually, I'm more of an associate pastor, and I do pastoring in the church.
And what denomination?
We're Protestant, Church of God in Christ.
Okay. And you have done that for how long?
I've been in the ministry for approximately about 18 years now.
18 years? And
18 years, yes.
Have you ever worked any other jobs in your life?
I worked at General Motors, but that's about it.
Now, you're up in Flint, Michigan, am I correct?
Yes, in Flint.
Just for the people who are interested, how are things in Flint right now with the big water crisis we heard so much last year about?
It's getting better. They're doing a lot of work up here. We're still not allowed to drink water out the faucets without a filter, but it's a lot better than what it was. So make sure you still keep the light on Flint.
Absolutely. So you're getting better, but it's not as much as you would like it to be.
No. It's still, like I said, it's still, they said it's within the government standards, but they still want us to drink bottled water. And if we do drink it from the sink, to make sure we use a filter. So we still having issues in some places. Some places is worse than others. I just happen to be fortunate that I'm in an area where we got pretty decent water.
Now, how much money an extra a month would you think it costs somebody to have your water filtered, your tap water?
Oh my goodness! We receive water. We have water that we can get to. We have water places where we can actually go pick up water. And some people, they actually bring 10 cases of water every week per person. I believe that's what it is, that they actually bring it to the door. But as far as if we had to buy water, we would be spending $100-$150 a month.
It's a terrible situation, and we do need to keep the light on up there. But, Leo, this is interesting. Pastoring, worked at General Motors, and have you been a lifelong wrestling fan? When did professional wrestling enter your life?
Oh, back when I was a young person, looking at that little black and white 9-inch TV screen, watching Dick the Bruiser and the Sheik and all those other characters, Junkyard Dog. I was a fan, man. I'm still a fan.
And you had some health problems in your life. When did the strokes first start to take place? And take me through that time.
Oh, geez. I've always been healthy all my life. Weightlifting, bicycle, real cardio, a lot of cardio all my life. Actually, I was in my late 40s when I first broke. And within a week, I had 3 strokes. Within 1 week, strokes. I was on my way home from a Bible study, and my whole right side just went limp. And I managed to make it home into my driveway. And from that point on, it seemed like it was downhill. There was no pain. It really surprised me. But I used to work as an EMT, so I had somewhat of an idea what was going on with me. But, you know, God is good. I made it through.
Now, how did this impair you? What impairments from the 3 strokes, 4 strokes, do you live with 3. Today? 3.
Well, I've got a dime size area of my brain that was damaged. I always say that, you know, I got the little part of my brain that's damaged. My eyesight is failing, so I kind of tell people I'm like, cripple me. But, you know, look, sometimes memory, places where I've been before, I have to think about it, somebody has to remind me. Then there's places that I've been before that I don't even remember being. But other than that, I'm healthy.
Now, as far as your eyesight, you are now legally blind. When did the problem with the eyes start?
That started when I was a kid. As a kid, I didn't know what was wrong at that particular time. I thought everybody seen the way I would see things. I would, you know, like a ball would go into a bush, I couldn't see it. Matter of fact, I walked off a bridge when I was about 13 years old because I didn't know it was a bridge there, but I was okay. It's a lot of little different things. And as I got older, I went to a doctor here in Michigan, and they told me in my 20s that I would probably be blind before I hit 25. That was kind of nerve-wracking, but like I said, God is good. But it's been deteriorating ever since then. I've got what they call retinitis pigmentosis.
Mm. At this point in your life, how do you see? What can you see?
Out of my left eye, I can see light and dark. If you can imagine looking down a long tube, like a toilet paper tube or a paper towel tube, and then you're placing a piece of saran wrap over that. It's real narrow vision. It's like, actually more like looking through a glass, like as the milk runs down. I can see images. I can see parts of your face. But I do well.
Okay, Leo, you're pastoring. You're living a good life there in Flint. You've had 3 strokes. You're legally blind. How?
Yeah. How? I've also had a bout with cancer. I know a lot of times people say, "Are you kidding me?" But no, I'm not.
Well, tell us about the bout with cancer.
as I was younger, I lost about 25 pounds in a week. And I've been going to the hospital back and forth, and on the way from home, they had me stop, and they wanted me to come. They said, "We have a room for you, bed ready for you." And I asked them when was I supposed to come in. They said, "Right now." I was like, "Wow!" And asked, "Could I come home, go home, and take care of my business?" And I was in and out of the hospital for 3 months after that. With a problem with digestive and stomach. And then as I got older, a lot of us that got the vaccinations, they found a tumor in my arm where I'd been vaccinated. And I would remove the tumor out of my arm. It was cancerous. But like I said, that's why they call me Father Time. I just overcome. Take a licking and keep on ticking.
Absolutely. So you go through all this, and mm-hmm. then at what you were what age when this professional wrestling opportunity came about? What age were you, and how did this happen?
See, that was something I'd always wanted to get involved with all my life. I'd made connections when I was in my 20s. I was a power lifter, and that was one of the reasons I was going to the doctor at that particular time, because I was a pretty good pretty good sized kid, and I noticed my strength was dwindling, and that's when they found out about that. I'd made some connections with the WWF, but because of that, I couldn't get involved in it. Time marches on. I've been through some more things with the, just a lot of different things, car wrecks and things in my life. So I'd kind of given up on it. And I was out of Genesee County Fair. And I don't know, I was watching Pure Pro Wrestling, the guys out there, and I'm like, man, I just want to do this, just want to try it in my life, if I could just get involved in the one time. Yeah, matter of fact, during the time before that, I'd met a few of the wrestlers, you know, and talked about the training. So anyway, make a long story short, I found the guy that owned the wrestling company, called him Xavier Justice, gave me his card. A week later, I called him, and my son took me out to his place. And my son, you know, young kid, big arms, he knocked on the door. He said, and the guy, Joe Xavier, opened the door, and he said, so you're the one that wants to wrestle. You know, he's looking at my son. He's saying, oh, man, this is great, you know. My son said, oh, no, it's my dad. So this old gray-haired man gets out the car, and he goes, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do with him? Well, we got inside, and we started working out, and we started showing me different things, and caught on pretty quick. And like I said, I've always been in pretty decent shape. And he showed me how to do a bump, and I did it. He said, well, I said, is that it? He said, that's it. But then I started explaining to him about my problems, and when I told him about the cancer, he said, you over with? I said, yeah. He said, your doctor know? I said, yep. Then I told him about the strokes, and he was real hesitant then. And he said, are you sure your doctor knows what you're doing? I said, yes. And then I said, oh, one more thing. I told him about my vision, and that just blew him away then. So we worked out certain things to do in the, or how to work in the ring, and he worked with me. And I think what convinced him is when we started doing certain exercises, and I outdid him with them. And I took my shirt off, and he was really impressed. So that started it. Within 6 months, I had my first match. I won that one. 2 weeks later, I was Pure Pro Wrestling TV champion. And it just continued from there. Actually, after the first match, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted, if I could just run in and run out, I was good. But he continued saying, let's do another one, let's do another one. And that's where I am today.
Now, Leo, how old were you when that incident took place?
Which one?
When you got into the wrestling business.
I was just right around 59, somewhere along there.
So at this point, you're still out there actively wrestling. How old are you today?
If I tell you that, then Father Time has to come visit you. Father Time is timeless.
Timeless.
There is no age with Father Time.
I understand. Father Time, when you get in the ring, three strokes, battle with cancer, legally blind, age, how are you able to do it? I mean, the blindness alone, how are you able to navigate?
Well, you know, you get a big sweaty man in the ring, you can pretty find him without having to see him, you know? But realistically, there's only three people in there, me, the ref, and the other guy. I can hear, I pick up on sounds, and it's just a lot of different things that I know. It's a lot of contact. Once we have contact, then the man is mine. I have never let things defeat me, you know, so if there's a way, I'm going to find out how to do it. So it works. A lot of times when I get it, you know, when I first meet an opponent, they're really hesitant about working with me. But once we get in the ring and after the first lockup, first body slam, and all of a sudden they say, hey, wait a minute, this is not just anybody. It's not just an old man. I tell them I'm not old. I'm Father Time. And that's when they realize that they're working with somebody more than what they thought.
Is there ever fear on your part about hurting yourself? That you get?
No.
Is there ever a time when you would want to give up actively getting in the ring?
Sometimes, sometimes I think about it, just like anybody thinks about anything that they do, every once in a while. But you know, it's that joy that I get from it. I'm able to, it opens a lot of doors for me. I do a lot of speaking with the young kids and anti-bullying. I go do a lot of motivational speaking to schools and just meeting people in general. You know, there's a couple of people that was on the verge of committing suicide. I didn't know it at the time, but I got a phone call from them and they told me. Another guy had given up. He was supposed to get bladder cancer. And he was ready to just call it quits. And I got a phone call from him saying he did the surgery because of seeing me. So, you know, this is a platform that I've been using to help people. And in turn, it helps me. By helping others, it helps to encourage me. So, you know, this is really a great thing that's been happening. And when I think about giving up, it's going against what I tell people. You know, you might get down and get out sometimes. You might feel like, you know, you don't have any other chance. But if you can look up, you can get up. And if you can get up, you can keep right on moving.
Leo, being a pastor, a lot of people would think that the church business and the pro wrestling business do not go together. Was there any hesitancy from your church about this?
Oh, no. They enjoyed it a lot. I mean, you know, there's another avenue. You know, they see that just because you're in church, you can still enjoy life. This is what it's all about, enjoying life. You don't have to be a stick in the mud to go to church. You can enjoy yourself with everything you do. The only difference is you just don't go crazy. That's the best, but the best way I can tell you.
Leo,
you know,
oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Leo, there are people out there who feel that, there, like you say, there is some vulgarity in professional wrestling. Have you ever run into a situation where there was something you did not want to do?
You have a choice, and whatever you do, you have a choice. You don't have to do what everybody else do. I don't need to be vulgar. I don't need to, that's not me. What you see those other guys do, that's what they do in order for them to get known. All I have to do is be Father Time. Father Time is Father Time. He sets the bar high time after time. I don't need to go down no road. I am the road. I'm the place. I'm Father Time. I do what I do, and that's all I need to do.
Leo, for all those people out there who feel their life, you know, ends when they retire 60, 65 years old, you have had all these setbacks, cancer, strokes, legally blind, in your 60s. What do you say to those people who haven't got the faith yet? How have you been able to maintain this faith with a hard life, with a lot of obstacles?
That's it, you know, it's all the way you look at life. It's all the way you look at life. If you see a problem and that problem stops you, then you stopped yourself. You can overcome any adversity. You can come over anything that comes your way, but you have to be willing to fight and to keep moving forward. Once you stop, you get stagnant. And you know what stagnant things would stink? And I don't like smelling. So I just keep moving. I don't feel like I'm in my 60s. I feel like I'm in my 40s. So it's all the way you look. Things happen in your life. It's up to you to deal with those things. I can find happiness in a cow pasture under a cow patty. Because when you pick up that cow patty, there's life underneath that, right? And a lot of people can't see that. I can see life, and I can see good and a light in anything that I go to, in anything that I do. I can get bad news. I might be down for a minute, but I'm up after that because I cannot find myself being a defeated person. When you get to a certain age, you think your world is gone. All you have to do is look around. If you had a dream or a desire into your life, then you got time to fulfill it because you don't have any other obligations in your life. You always have to be positive with things. I can do anything that Christ has given me that desire to do. You can do anything. You just have to do it.
What does the wrestling business do for you at this point in your life?
Well, I'm not trying to be, but it's what I'm doing with the wrestling business. I'm letting people see that there's opportunity. But what it's done for me, it's given me a platform where I can actually get out and speak to people, especially kids. And that's what it's all about to me. I enjoy talking with the kids. I enjoy seeing their faces when you go up to them and you've had a great match. Especially with me, they see me in the ring a lot of times, and I'm not sure it's because of the character, or I remind them of their grandfather. But I get a lot of kids that follow Father Time, and I have a way of you know, speaking positive to them in their lives and letting them know that they're able to overcome and do whatever they have a desire to do. And that's one good thing about wrestling that's happened with me.
Leo, for all those people who get up every morning and they have to go to their job, and that alarm clock goes off in the morning and they say, oh, I just can't face another day. I don't want to get off the couch. I don't want to get out of bed. What do you say to those people?
Get up, shake it loose, and let it fall. It's another day. The day is what you make of it. It really is. When I get up in the morning, I never know if I'm going to be able to see. I don't, because it could happen overnight. But when I get up, I just keep it moving. I just do what I have to do. And that's what you got to do. You cannot wake up defeated. You cannot wake up looking at life as though it's going to eat you up. Because if you do, it will do that, because you'll let it. Get out with a positive mind. Get out there. I told somebody one day, I said, I'm Father Time. I look for something to overcome. I look for something to conquer. Because if I don't think that way, all the things that's happened in my life, the things that I've been through, and it's just the tip of the iceberg what I'm talking about. My life and just growing up, it was awful. But I made up my mind. I said, I'm not going to let this destroy me. I'm not going to let this slow me down. This is my life, and I'm going to do what I can do to make my life happy and anybody that I can be around me happy. I can walk into a store and see a salesperson. They seem like they're just so down and depressed. But I tell you what, before I give them my money, I got a smile on their face, and that makes me feel good too.
I tell you what, Leo, Father Time Napier, we hope to be making some big announcements here soon, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
All right. There's one thing I say. There ain't no time like Father Time.
Thank you, Leo.
All right.
We're going to break. We will be back with Eleanor Cliff right after this.
Donnie.
Madeline Murray O'Hara, the most hated woman in America, who took prayer out of public school. You know, we've...